Okay, so in the Hisoiris that comes about through the Torah, there are three chalakim, things that a person is mitzvah to do. Those are what we call the mitzvahs aseh. Things that are osur to do, those are called the lavim, and things which are mutter to do. There's no mitzvah or aveira there. What we call reshus maybe, I don't know. We'll see how he settles that out. But those are the three main divisions. Then he divided mitzvahs aseh into two divisions. Those things that you do with your lave, the mitzvahs aseh that are mutel, that are incumbent on the lave, and those that are incumbent also on the avarim, mitzvahs that you have to do that are also connected to the lave. The lavim also two divisions, things that are also, that only relate to the lave bilvad, and things that are also that relate to the avarim, to the maisim of the guf. And then the okay, and then we were going to start this. Yo, this is where we got up to. Okay. So again, there's mitzvahs aseh, mitzvahs lo taseh. Each of them are divided into two categories, guf and avorim, lev and avorim. And then the third category are things that are mutter la soysom. Ve'ein lem beged a mitzvah ve'lo beged a veira. Mitchalekes l'shloisha chalokim. Those are things that are divided into three categories, and that's where we're going to start tonight. Resh Chof Ches, if anybody's still following. Okay. What are those three divisions? Hachiyuni, Hamuta, Vapochos Mahachiyuni. So let's see what this means. Let's try and. Muta means permissible. What exactly means Bachiyuni? Pachos me'achiyoni. Let's have a look and see what's going on here. Beged achiyoni, ma'isim avedorim she'enam on yoichel liskayim biladehem letzorech shleimus gufei v'hasadoros inyonov kagon achile v'shtia. Things which are chiyuni, which are things which without them a person can't take care of his basic physical needs. For example, eating, drinking, halbosha, clothes, dira. He needs a roof over his head. To talk to people, to deal with one's dealings, with one's businesses, his actions and his business dealings, and to use all his movements. That's exactly what he means there. All these things which are muta but are chiyuni, to take them in the correct measure, in order that he should continue to live. Hasn't got a clue what that has to do with anything, but then we agreed that I wasn't going to be able to explain every pasuk that he brings. He brings down, yeah, in the Pischelev, he says, Ashrei ish enoisen le'enayim umalve le'nitzrochim. He lends money to those that need it. Yechalkel dvorev b'mishva shekol ma'isev mududim b'mishkal u'b'tzedek. Everything he does, he's weighed and careful. He's not impulsive. He does whatever he cheshbons out before he does things. Sheinu perish le'gamri ha'olam hazeh. He doesn't separate himself totally from Olam Hazeh. That's not a very Jewish thing to do. The gam einu shokur bo yosemidai. But at the same time, he's not too involved in this world either, which means you have to be involved in the world, but not so much that he's immersed in the world. It means he takes from the world what he needs in order to live a normal, functional life. Eloilech bishvil azav hebeinoini. He walks the golden path of Beinoini, mediocrity. Now, that's not what the word means here, but that's what Beinoini normally means. It means mediocre. That's not what it means here. When he gives money to poor people, he doesn't minimize more than necessary. He also doesn't give more than necessary. In other words, he doesn't matzamtzem, he gives generously, but also doesn't give so much that he'll end up having to take stock himself. It means a person has to weigh up his weigh up his actions and in each situation decide what the best thing to do is. That's the golden path. The golden path is you sit in the middle. Doesn't mean that you're mediocre. The golden path is always a problem. We look at it inside the Rambam, the golden path looks very problematical. We've spoken about this with Chaim Friedlander. The golden path means you're never too happy and you're never too sad. Yeah, you were always very sad, so you became very, very happy, and now you've come back to the middle. So you look exactly the same when you go to a levaya as you do when you go to a wedding. You're just in the middle there, not too happy, not too sad. Obviously, that can't be pshat in the Rambam, not the pshat here either. The pshat is you go all the way extreme to the one side to the other side. You pick up all the modalities along that path, and then you pose yourself centered in the middle, and then you use your seichel to decide what's appropriate in each situation. When you go to a wedding, you choose the more simcha. When you go to levaya, you choose the more sad. It doesn't mean you just live a mediocre existence in the middle there, nothing. You know, you just you look exactly the same. You know, at the bris, as the law, that can't be pshat. You know, Chaim Friedlander speaks it out at length in the Hakdamah to one of his Sforim. I can't remember which one it is. But that's the, we're talking about the things that are mutter. We're not talking about mitzvahs, we're not talking about a virus. We're talking about the things that are chiyuni, things that you need in order to live, basic stuff. Like Rav Moshe Shapiro once said, he said, what does a person need money for? He needs food and drink. He needs a roof over his head. He needs heating in winter, and he needs mikveh geld. You know, you got to have money to go to the mikveh. That for him is chiyuni. That's, without that, you can't survive. Okay, each person's got to work out what he needs. Okay. So that's the aleph. What's base, the second one? Chelek in Hashirapulu, shemutalo l'adam lasoysam, heim hayim yutoris. These are not things that you need to live on. These are extras. Kloima, dvorim shei michutz l'tchum atzerech achiyuni. These are outside the boundaries of what's called chiyuni. What's called, this is what I need to live on. These are the things that are beyond what you need to live on. Beyond, you know, your basic eating, drinking, clothes, roof over your head, whatever a person needs to live on. A person needs a car today to live on. Some places, sometimes you need a car, some people don't need a car, fine, you need a bus ticket. Whatever it is you need, whatever you need to live on, this is a beyond that, mutoris. Dorim shem michutz l'tchum atzerech achiyuni. Vehinam toisefes muyuteres she'en la'adam tzerech bo. These are things that a person doesn't need. Kagon ha'achila v'ashtia ha'yaseira. Eating and drinking more than what you need to live on. I don't know who the Chochem is, but whoever the Chochem calls a Chochem, must be a Chochem. If the Chochem calls you a Chochem, that's quite a compliment. So whoever this Chochem is, has already warned us to hold back from those things. Ba'amr says in Mishlei, Al tiye b'soyve yain b'zoylele bosa lomoy. Don't get too involved with wine and too much meat and whatever. Obviously, there's place for it at times. You have to know when and how. Well, not to be immersed in food, too much food, going overboard. Not to dress too fancy. Got to dress properly, nicely. Well, you know, nice. He lives in this big mansion, you know, 27 bedrooms with bathrooms en suites, him and his wife and the poodle. So that's mutara. So you don't need all that space. It means to have a, you know, to have a normal house, you know, spacious house, whatever you need. Use your cheshbon, use your seichel. Everyone's going to be different. What a person needs to function, says Yeshuva Das, has Meluchas HaNefesh. If that's what you need in order to function properly, then do it. If you need the air conditioner, you're going to work better with an air conditioner. Get an air conditioner. We're not saying live this life of, you know, in a damp basement and live on onions. There's Loma Shuomer. Whatever's considered over and above what you need in order to function as a normal human being. Umar be bediburim. That's another interesting muyuta. Shein hu betuach shelo yeh nichshol behem. Also, somebody talks too much. He's mabe b'dvurim. Sometimes according, you have to know when to use words, when not to use words. But the more a person speaks, the more likely he is to say something wrong. If you keep quiet, you can't be accused of ever having said anything wrong. So also not to speak unnecessarily. K'mo she'amar Shlomo HaMelech HaChochem, b'roiv dvurim lo yechdal posha. But there's lots of words, it's impossible to avoid sinning. V'chein orber gabe noshim, V'ayid omo al titen lenoshim chelecho v'nema v'melech v'lo yarbe lenoshim v'chein yishtadlis litzmo ruchushoi rav v'lo eitzim omen. Okay, not to be too involved with noshim. We don't have that problem. We can't take on more than one wife. So, but for like a king not to have more too many women, it's a dangerous thing to be too involved in those things. And also, a person shouldn't make too much ishtadlis in order to acquire too much money, in order to acquire more possessions. Shalei Neema, al tiga le'oishe v'binascha chadal. Okay, all bad things, the psukim here, from Mishle mainly. V'neba b'melech, it says in the posuk in Dvorim, v'kesev hazav lo yarbe lo mo'oid. Even a king, tafka king, so even how much more so us. King has to have a certain status. He needs to hold himself above by having more wealth than everybody else, for sure. But even the king's warned, so much and no more. Don't go overboard. V'kol adjum ha'metorim alur shiskanu, המיועדים לסיפוק הגוף הנויסוף, הופכים לבסוף לרעס האדם. All these things that we've mentioned above that are, they're really designed to provide the goof with its pleasures. In the end, they do evil to a man. They're not good for you. מפני שמביאים אויסוי לעבור על מה שעושו הבויר והיזי לא לעשויסוי. Because eventually they'll bring you to be Oyvei Surim that the Torah has warned you, that the boy has warned you not to get involved in. That means in and of themselves, they're not also. This is touching a little bit, I'm getting a feeling, this is touching a little bit on the Ramban there, on Kedoshim Tiyu, Altibi Manuval Barushus HaTorah. What does it mean, Manuval Barushus HaTorah? It means it's Muta. It's Muta, yeah, but it's Hashem doesn't want you going there. It's not also, it doesn't say in the Torah, you know, it says in Mishlei, but I'm saying there's no one of the 613 mitzvahs is, you know, don't overeat or whatever. No, you know, don't do this. These are things that are mutter, but you don't really need them, worth avoiding. Now, once again, it could be that the person does want an ice cream, would give him Yishuv Hadas. We're not talking about aesthetic here. We're not talking about a guy who goes and lives in the mountains and doesn't, you know, he lives on water and whatever. You'd be a misery. You couldn't function properly. A person has to do a real hardcore introspection objective and see what he needs and what he doesn't need. And I'll tell you another thing. Esther talks about this. Is don't take anything new until you're really sure you need it. Because once you've taken it on, you can't get rid of it. And it makes it much harder to work on betochen because your needs are greater. So you need more money. When you don't get it, you get more upset. Don't be in a hurry to buy new things. You know, this new thing came out, and this just came out, and whatever. You don't have to be the first person in town to have it. Because once you've got it, you can't live without it. The guy used to walk to work. He was very happy to walk to work until he saw his friend going on a bicycle. Get to work half an hour before him on the bicycle. Wow, so now he's got to get a bicycle. So he gets a bicycle. One day the bicycle has a puncture. He hasn't got time to fix it. So he has to walk to work. He can't walk to work anymore. He walked to work for 10 years. He never had a problem. But now he's got a bicycle. He can't walk to work. Yeah. And then he gets a motorbike. And then he gets a car. And then, you know, we all know that. A person has to be, yeah, well, what's wrong with buying a motorbike? Nothing's wrong with buying a motorbike. It's not awesome, but just be careful. Because if you really don't need it and you buy it, then you need it now. It's very hard to get rid of. Mitzacheni, if there's something you really need and you don't get it, then you're going to have to give a cheshbon on that as well. The world is full of resources that Hashem gives us in order to function better. It was well known that Reb Chaim Kanievsky didn't want a mazgan. He didn't want an air conditioner. He lived in Bnei Brak without an air conditioner. That's a poshul. But people didn't have air conditioners. Why didn't he want an air conditioner? Because he couldn't use it on Shabbos. He didn't use chashmal on Shabbos. And in those days, there weren't generators and sophisticated battery systems or whatever. So they used to use whatever. They used the lights, gas lights or whatever. But for the mazgan, he wouldn't have a way of using the mazgan on Shabbos. So he didn't want the week to be more oineg than Shabbos. On Shabbos, you don't have a mazgan the whole week, you do. So he never got one. Eventually, after a while, somebody, while he wasn't looking, put an air conditioner into his room. And he said, had he known how much better he learns with an air conditioner, he would have got one years ago. A deep lesson there. Hashem puts resources in the world. You have to use them, you know, but not meyutar. But that's a hard personal cheshbon, not a poshut for a person to make. Do I need this? Don't I need this? Do I need to go on holiday? Don't I need to go? I don't really need it, but my wife does. My wife doesn't really need, but I do. And it's a fine line, because you'll say, okay, so I won't go. No, it could be that you need to go because you would function better when you go. So could be, you know, you'll have a bit of extra meat. You'll have a nice barbecue or whatever, and you'll enjoy it and whatever, and that'll give you more yeshiva das, and you'll be able to serve Hashem better. Now you're going to be able, you're chayv if you don't do that. It's such an, you're just one of these guttlins or whatever, what do they call them? Gluttons, and you're one of these all you can eat for $10 places every night. So it's a gum chayv, you know. So anyway, that's a very personal shikel, and it's not poshut, but that's where the nisoin really lies. The nisoin doesn't lie in the assays and the lot assays, because we know this you can do, this you can't do, this you can't do. A real avoider in this category. The first category is also not so hard, because what you need to live on, you need to live on. That's poshut. No one would argue with that. Now you get into this area that's just outside of what I need. And today we need a lot. We look at this much harder for us today. We have like, wow, we need so much, and we have so much. It's hard to imagine a generation that was this affluent. Millionaires 100 years ago didn't have what the average person today has. A millionaire 100 years ago had a bathroom outside. Didn't have marble bathrooms inside the house, unless he was a really, you know, one of the king maybe or whatever. And then he had servants or whatever maybe, but most people didn't have the kind of wealth we have today. So it's a difficult shikl, not posh. Okay, what's the third chelek? These are mutter, and we called them chiyuni, hapachot miachiyuni. We had chiyuni, we had mutter, which we saw things that are mutter but worth avoiding, mutares. Now we're doing things which are pachot miachiyuni. Let's see what that is. Klayma she'ein adam mesapik la'atzmai af etzrochov hachiyunim. The person doesn't even provide himself with things that he needs in order to live. Bachila b'shtir b'dibu, b'saskus p'banosa, in his status for panosa, v'drorim dvaimim. V'istakpus yasei ruzu yichoylo is totzol shel shnei gormim. This, histapkus, means this being satisfied with yaseiri, he calls it, this extreme histakpus, living on nothing kind of, could be caused from two things. Or shunovat mitoy chasidus, or it's coming from a very good place. It's coming from this guy's already, he's already a tzaddik, and now he wants to go the next step. Tzaddik is somebody who does everything he's supposed to do. Chasid is somebody that does me'al what he's supposed to do. So he's already a tzaddik, and now he wants to become a chasid. Or mitoch taiva. Kedei lahasig al yoder mashu ba'olam hazeh. In order to acquire something in this world, now we'll have to see what that means. He's holding back extremely from the normal things that a person needs to live on because of some kind of taiva for something in Olam Hazeh. Let's see what that means. The category Aleph, this istakpus, extreme istakpus, that's flowing out of a desire for chassidus. That's because he wants to get closer to Hashem via the breaking of his tivers. He wants to be in control of his desires, and he wants to choose what he does, when he does it. He doesn't want any Yetzer interferences. He meshubachas u'makablim aleyascha. That's very, very praiseworthy, and you get rewarded from that. But that's on condition that you're trying to become a chosid. You're not trying to become a meshugana. You think you're holding there, and you're not. This is not for us. Anachnu lo sham. Where does it apply to us? You may find a small area in your life where you're going to hold back a little bit, you know, as a sort of zeichel chassidus, an area where you want to break your tavas or whatever. So you make a cheshbon. Okay, I'm going to hold back a little bit on something. I knew a very chosh of a yid that he would always leave a little bit of his coffee left in the cup. Always leave on the plate when he would eat. He would leave a little bit. What's he doing that for? Because of this. So what's he doing? He's learning the principle and applying it to himself. He's making for himself shviras hatayvas. Each person, you find for yourself a little area where you can work on you, but to go crazy like this is a little bit chabichlal lo shaykh to us. Okay, so and he gets rewarded for this. Kamo sha'am ha'melech ha'chochem, leiv chachobim bebeis evil, v'leiv ksilim bebeis simcha. The minds of a wise man are in a house of mourning, and the minds of a fool are always in the parties. Well, yes, that's good. That's a good thing to do. Obviously, a good thing to do if it's shaykh to you. If it's not shaykh to you, you stum punishing your goof for no reason. One of the Gedolim said, you're punishing your horse because you misbehaved. Your body's a horse. You've got to look after it. You've got to feed it. You've got to take care of it. Why are you punishing it? Because you did an avarice and now you shoot your horse? Well, my kesha. So that's the vault. Okay, if it's done genuinely for Hasidus, or as I mentioned, in your own world, you've got your little histakbut, but where you're doing your little avoid and no one needs to know about it, and you're holding back a little bit to groundbreak your tithes, gewaldig. That's mamash fantastic. So far, that's very good. What about the other one? V'ilu istakbus ha-yaseir ha-noivus mitoich avas ha-oilam hazeh, hainu mitoich kam tzanut. He holds back and he doesn't spend a thing or whatever because of miserliness. Kidei shi'ishah lo yoisa momen, because he'll have all this money left over. He won't switch on the air conditioner because you know what it costs? You must be crazy. What's he doing? In the meantime, he's storing up all the money. Or he's doing it for a worse reason. He's doing it for a gaivadika reason. He wants people to say, wow, this guy's he's a porush. Look, wow, he's holding back. He's the guy. He's the chosid. He wants people to think that he's category one. Meanwhile, he's nowhere near there. This is very, very despicable. It's despicable because he's leaving that middle path when he's not shaykh to it. He's not relevant to it. He's doing it for all the wrong reasons. And he's just stum. He's causing tzar to his goof because of his enormous taiva for this world. Somebody, so we have to understand what this means. There's a lot of work to understand what it means. Is whoever separates from himself from this world because of the love of this world. He's separating himself from this world because of the love of this world. Well, then why is he separating from where? If he loves the world, he'll be immersed in the world. He's like somebody who's trying to put out a fire using straw. Ever try to put out a fire using straw? You just get more fire. So someone who's trying to hold back from this world because he loves this world and he's trying to save as much as he can, doesn't spend money on anything because not exactly sure what that looks like, but so that's what he's doing. He's increasing his tithes for this world. And even more so when he's doing it to impress other people. He's a fraudulent pirish. So that's very, very ugly, and it's not poshut. Alavai, we could just live a normal, balanced, healthy life. That would be chassidus for us today already. No, just being normal for us would already be a mile of chassidus. You try and have a mile of chassidus, you just there's a law. We all know what it looks like. It doesn't look nice. Achmir tadibu v'hashayna hu mushubach. The two things which are very praiseworthy, and once again, it has to be in used with seichel. Miut dibu v'hashena, and minimizing sleep, those are praiseworthy. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean minimizing sleep to the point where you're not functioning properly. If you need 8 hours a night, and the Gedolim all say that today to the Bochrim and to whatever, they tell them, you have to get 8 hours sleep a night. This business of, you know, you learn through the night and you're a big masmid and, you know, mishma every night, whatever, zelo, you're not going to be successful. We've seen that the Bokrim had a good night's sleep. They might even learn less than the Bokrim that are up longer learning at night. But in the long run, in the long, the guys are sleeping better, become better. They learn better, they function better, they daven better, they're just healthier, no question. Miut Shena, what Rav Noach told me that Miut Shena, what you should do is see how much sleep you need. Let's say you need 7 hours of sleep a night, yeah? So sleep 5 minutes less. Start with that. That's miut shein. It's one of the memches kinyan ha'tayra. Start with 5, start with 2 minutes less. Wake up 2 minutes earlier. Try that for a month and see how you go. It's working, okay, cut off another 2 minutes. You don't just, you know, you need 7 hours sleep a night, you start sleeping 3 hours a night. Also, what are you doing with those other hours that you're not sleeping? You know, if your mum is using those hours productively, for sure. But once again, a lot of shikulimia. Learning a rishonia, remember? The benefits of silence far outweigh the benefit of speaking. Don't be in a hurry to use your mouth. And don't be in a hurry to take what's on your mind out of your mouth. Because Elokim is the Kelokim for Shemayim, and you're on the ground. And therefore, make sure that your words are minimized. Don't speak too much. We live in a generation today where, people just talk about mamash, every irrelevant thing. You know, they have chat shows. Radios are all about people just talking. They don't know what they're talking about. It's a machala of this generation. There's no question. There used to be a time where people actually thought what they were saying. They chose their words carefully. People listened to what other people were saying. You listen to chavrusas, even in the Beis Midrash. You know, if two guys talking to each other in a sugya, and they're mamash, they're missing each other completely. I do that often. I sit and I listen to chavrusas. Almost, they're not even in the same sugya because they're not listening to each other. You've got a clue what the other guy's saying. When the other guy's talking, he's thinking about, you know, what he's thinking about. He's thinking about. There's times where you need to speak. You can make somebody feel better. You can mechazik somebody. Then you'll be also to hold back. It's kedar to minimize speech. Okay, obviously, if your too much sleep is coming from laziness, check it out. Guys with young children, they don't have to work on mute shena. They just have to work on trying to get a bit of sleep every now and again. That's why people go to the office, so they can get some sleep. Okay. So, just want to summarize here. Let's just finish off and then we'll stop. Haray, hidbayem mikol ha'omu. It's clear from everything we've said up to now. Shekol pulus adam shemutu lo la'saysa. This mamash says counterintuitive what he's going to say now. All the things that we've spoken about that are mutter for a person to do, haim or begeda mitzvah, in inverted commas, or begeda aveira, in inverted commas, or begeda chiyuni. That means the things that are mutter to do, if they're not chiyuni, then you're getting close to being touching on a virus. Kikol mashu chutz miageda chinui, bainimu bechlal hamuta, ubainimu bechlal haistakpus yaseira, bechrachu nichlal obegeda mitzvah, o hunase l'shem shemaim, obegeda veira, im ein hunase l'shem shemaim. At the end of the day, what really distinguishes between the mutter actions, which are positive, as opposed to the mutter actions, which are the getter of vera, is why you're doing it. Why are you doing it? If you're doing this because you're going to use it properly in your avodas Hashem, gevaldik. And if not, then why are you doing it? That's all. Now, we can't do everything we're doing, you know, like l'shem shemayim, and I had this hamburger because it's like I'm getting away. We have to work out where we hold and get back to real, function in the real. And it's a place to at least, even if you're not doing anything, at least just to be aware of it. I think that's maybe a good place for us to start in this generation, just to be a little bit aware of how much time we spend wasting on this, on that, on this, just to be a little bit aware, to make cheshbon, to think carefully before we just. I think the biggest cure for all of these problems is not looking at what everyone's doing. A lot of what we do is because, well, everyone does it. Everyone's doing it. The minute you start everyoneing, you're in danger. Step back and ask yourself 1 second. Mazikashu, everyone. But everyone does it. So that's Ellie already knows me with that one. That's like a red flag to a bull. If everyone's doing it, there could be a good reason why you shouldn't do it. Okay. I think there's a lot of food for thought here. There's a lot to think about practically, La Maisa. And if we just, as I said, if we just be a little bit more aware, then we're already, I think, deep into what the Chovos HaLevavos is talking about without even doing anything. And you're in Miami and we're talking about, you know, not too much gashmis. Okay. In South Africa, you can't have too much gashmis because there's no chashmal. So you can't tell them that they're overliving their lives, you know. Tifrach, okay, things are pretty posh here. But you're in Miami, so you're going to have to lead us on this one, Eli. Okay.
It's a bit too much gashmis here for us. That's the truth.
Yeah, I'm sure. But you know what? It's good because at least you don't feel comfortable with it. That's already a darga. That's already midas chasidus. Okay, Rabbi, so have a good week.
Thanks, Rabbi. Good to see you, Rabbi.
Thank you. You too.
Nice to see you.
I'm hiding. But just travel safe. Look, yeah, I am.
Oh, there you are.
Travel safely and enjoy.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
100%.
Up to everybody.
Thanks, all the best.
Nice to
come
think
back
about
soon.
Take care. Bye.
Cheers, Jonathan.